My voice is quickly leaving me. Hopefully it holds out for the presentation. Today I'll be speaking on behalf of Adisu Ayele. He graduated this December with his PhD in plant soil science. This work I'll be presenting is part of his dissertation. So it's some pretty exciting results. I'm really privileged to be able to present them for him. So the whole idea here is we have variation in fiber quality within the plant. So he decided to use variation of fiber length and see within plant variation of fiber length, the total variation, and see what the impact on yarn quality was. So, of course, advances in textile manufacturing have increased demands for cotton fibers that are long and also uniform. Uniformity of fiber length is really important. Right now, our target market is ring spinning. More uniformity in fiber length provides uniformity into the yarn mass. Uniformity in fiber length also helps us access different markets. For example, air jet spinning is a different technology. It's sort of a low percent of the total spinning right now. But it's very sensitive to within sample variation in fiber length. Oftentimes, a natural variation in fiber length we see in cotton prevents our access as a raw material in these markets. So improving this uniformity in fiber length can improve our performance in markets we're already in, and it can open up access to new markets. I think that kind of summarizes that. So it's one of the things that contributes to this variation in fiber length is the indeterminate nature of the cotton plant itself. So here's an example of sort of the schematic of the growth habit of the cotton plant. These different bowls, the more central bowls are set early in the season under more ideal conditions. The bowls at the top of the plant, they tend to be set later in the season and they develop under different circumstances, different environmental conditions than the more central bowls. Also, the bowls more distal portions on the branches have different access to nutrients, so they develop under different developmental conditions as well. These developmental differences during the fiber formation lead to variation in fiber quality across the bowl locations and within the bowl locations. So each of these bowls sort of has its own fingerprint that it adds to the variation in fiber quality we see in a bale. So his hypothesis going into this work was that within plant variation and fiber quality has an impact on spun yarn quality. And we've seen this work done before with, say, average length, right, or average maturity. But what he really wanted to do was look at within bowl variation, account for variation within each of these locations and across locations. So this is really the first time we've mapped the entire within plant variation and fiber length. So this will be focusing on length. I'm sure as the publications come out of this, we'll see some more added to this. So the first objective today will be to show the mapping process, how that within sample variation and fiber length is mapped across bowl locations and within in bowl locations. And then the last part, the second objective, will be to show how this variation impacts yarn quality to see if it's of any value to us. So we start here by mapping the complete within plant variation and fiber length for a set of upland cotton cultivars. So we selected 12 cultivars. They were some predominantly grown cultivars from different seed companies. We planted these in a randomized complete block design in one location. This is the Texas Tech Quaker Farm. We did this for 3 years. At the end of each growing season, we took three random meters of row, and we harvested plants individually. And we box-picked each plant to capture the within-plant variation. And then we went through and we did a bulk harvest of the remaining harvestable lint. And this was used, this was later sawgened, and that was spun into 30-count yarns. So any time we talk about within plant variation, we have to show the box picking slide. We all have our own variation on the slide. This is our contribution to the box picking. We can see over here on the left of the screen, we have the structure of the plant, and we just go up these nodes. The red line is the nodes. We count up the nodes. We start with the cotyledons at the zero, and they count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then we hit a branch, and along the branch we have positions. Those are the blue. So, for example, we see we have two positions that have harvestable bowls on on branch 6 and node 6, and so those go into the box on the right. Now, we don't just do one plant like that. Remember, we did 3 meters of row. It ended up being about 10 plants per plot. So then we needed to capture the within sample variation in fiber length. Well, in order to do that, we can't use the HEI, and we have to use the APHIS. Another disadvantage using HEI in research like this is we have smaller sample sizes, and the HEI really requires more. But it doesn't even capture within sample variation of fiber length, so that's okay. The APHIS, however, does. We can get away with around 5 grams of lint. So we roller ginned each of the individual positions, and we analyzed the fiber quality of that lint on the APHIS, and that gave us the within sample distribution of fiber length. It also gives us a couple of other important things that you'll see here in a minute. The average fiber length by number, and we saw Carol talking about short fiber content. We won't use that here, but we will use this average fiber fineness. Okay, so we find the APHIS length distribution for each of the bowls. Now, this is what they look like. It's not really necessary to know which length distribution goes to which bowl, but what I want you to see here is that node 6 position 3 looks like it's contributing a ton of short fiber content to the sample, right? Well, node 6 position 3 probably didn't produce that many bowls. It probably wasn't contributing very many bowls to the total yield. So when we look at the raw APHIS length distributions like this, we sort of overrepresent some positions, especially the more distal positions. So we need a way of sort of weighting the different positions. So we can capture within location variation of fiber length with the APHIS, but we need a method to weight those positions. So what we do there is, again, we go back to the APHIS. The APHIS provides us the fineness, and if you look at the fineness there, it's the weight per unit length. And then we look at the mean length by number. So now we have the length. We can also weigh the lint from each of the samples, so we have the total weight of the sample. So now follow me here. We have the fiber fineness, the weight per unit length, and then we have the weight of the sample. That allows us to calculate the total fiber length in the sample. So then we have the average fiber length from the sample, and that, in combination with the total fiber length in the sample, gives us the number of fibers produced at each location in the plant. Using that number, we can then weight all of the length distributions and see what their contribution to the total yield is. So here, I showed you kind of a schematic of what the plant sort of looks like in terms of its indeterminate growth structure. Here, I've taken the weights, which you can see on the left. That's the bar chart on the left. Those are all of that's the number of fibers produced at each location. This is FiberMax 2484. And then on the right, what I've done is I've taken each of those bowls and I've scaled their size based on that number, based on the total number of fibers they contribute. So you can see those first positions are really key to the yield in this particular variety. Now I can use that information to weight what I showed you earlier. Remember that node 6 position 3? When I weight it, you can see it doesn't contribute as much as it looked like. But we do see we have some other positions that sort of become prominent and start showing a little more short fiber content. But now we have an accurate description of what they're contributing to the total yield and how they might impact the yarn quality. So we can weight the raw APHIS length distributions using other APHIS measurements to give us an estimate of the total number of fibers produced at each location. So now to the final objective here. We want to look at the impact of within-plant variability of fiber length distribution on yarn quality. And here you can see some of the yarns that were produced. These are cotton 30-count yarns, and you can see the variation in the hairiness of those yarns. So, now the key point here is, we like to collect tons and tons of data. And that's what we've done here. So for each plot in this experiment, instead of just having a yield or just having a fiber length, now we have a matrix of relative frequencies, essentially. So this really complex figure that I showed of weighted length distributions, all those weighted length distributions are used as the measurement for that plot. So the trick was how to relate all that variability from that two-dimensional matrix to the variation in the yarn quality. So essentially this is going to be a regression over a 3D data set. So we form a vector for each plant consisting of all of that variation, and we include everything, even if it didn't produce. So that means that if a particular variety didn't produce at a location, we want to know if the fact that it didn't produce at that location of the plant, whether that impacts the yarn quality. And in that way, we were able to include everything we harvested. In the past, you've seen some of these results presented for a different hypothesis. Previously, I think at the last Beltwide, he presented these results to show that there were, in fact, differences between varieties in within sample variation. And for that, we're doing sort of an ANOVA-style analysis. And so when we have missing data, it becomes a problem. And all we really need for that hypothesis is to show that for some complete data set, that there are differences. But for this, we want to know if at those distal positions, even though they're not contributing a lot to the yield, are they impacting the yarn quality? So we have to include them. We can't just eliminate them because some varieties didn't produce it. And so here, we've captured it all. We put it all in the regression. So we have two regressions. We use a redundancy analysis for this. It shows the variation in this that's shared with the variation in that. So so model one is the variation in within plant fiber length that's shared with the variation or that impacts the variation in the yarn quality. And then the model two, we just use the traditional HVI parameters. We use upper half mean length, uniformity index, strength, yellowness, and reflectance. Oh, and micronair. So we built two models. So the models on your right will be the traditional HVI. The models on your left will be the just variation in fiber length. And so here we can see that just variation in fiber length explains a considerable amount of information or variability in yarn quality. Very comparable to what we're getting with the HVI. So in fact, this is good information. It actually is capturing something that we aren't capturing already. And we see that when we compare, of course, with Tenacity, we're pretty equipped. We're already explaining a lot of variation as it is, and we don't really bring additionality to it. But here with elongation, we're capturing more variation. The blue is within sample variation of fiber length. This is the R squared. So we're characterizing about 10% more variation in yarn elongation. We also want to look at yarn imperfections. So things like neps, variation in yarn evenness, the number of thick places, the number of thin places, the hairiness of the yarns. So here we used a nonlinear model, because this is, what do we have here? Thin places? Oh, this is the yarn imperfection index. So it's a count number. So we used a nonlinear relationship, and we modeled it. Of course, the R-square is expressed on the linear relationship, but the model itself was derived in a nonlinear fashion. So here we can see, though, that we're about 10% more variation in the imperfection index is explained by just variation in fiber length. And again, we can look at the thin places, the thick places, the neps. These are all really important fiber or yarn quality indices. And in every case, we're explaining at least 10% more with just the fiber length. So within plant variation in fiber length has an impact on yarn quality. It's not currently captured. This isn't variability. It's currently captured by HEI. This isn't really something we can implement in breeding. Maybe Carol would like to do that. But it requires box picking. It requires a lot of APHIS works. It's very tedious. It's very slow. So it's not something we can really implement in a breeding program. But it does suggest that we need new tools. We need new tools that can capture this type of variation in fiber length quickly and effectively. I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated for making this research possible. I'd also like to say, this research was a lot of work, and I think Adisu did a wonderful job at it, and he's looking for a job right now, so I can get you his number if you need it.